Father, bless these words to our hearts and impart something from your heart to ours. In Jesus' name. It's been a long time, I'd say about 3 or 4 years, since God led me to preach on this topic. I don't know why He's brought it back. I think we have like an amazing church with amazing people in it. But this morning, God had really imparted on my heart this topic. And I asked God, is this right? And He said, just preach it. So that's what we're going to do, because that's the better way to do it. Okay. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This thought is very heavily on God's heart today. So please pay careful attention. In verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 14, the Word of God says, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle?" If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, then no one will prepare for battle. The word uncertain sound is edelon phenon, and it means to have an uncertain voice. And it's having no definite meaning. Whereas it ought to be so marked that one succession of notes on the trumpet should summon the soldiers to attack, another to retreat, another to some other action. In the old days, in the days of Israel of old, when an army was invading, when an enemy was coming, a trumpet was blown. A watchman would stand on top of the wall of the city and look out into the distance. And when something was happening, there was a succession of notes, a tune, if you will, that was played by the trumpet. But if the succession of notes did not come in such a way that it meant a clear signal, then no one knew what to do. This was a very dangerous event when those notes were wrong, or if they were not certain, if they were not clear. That was a very dangerous event. So God said through Paul that if the trumpet does not give a certain sound, paraphrasing, it is a very dangerous event. Now, all too often, some pulpits do not give a certain sound. They are giving a dangerous event. When there is ambiguity of thought, when there is ambiguity of conviction, where there is a lack of clarity of teaching, you have a dangerous event. Because in that circumstance, the enemy is not seen. In that circumstance, no one knows the action that they should take, and the enemy is not seen. The sound from the pulpit must be a certain sound. There must be no ambiguity, no lack of clarity. When there is conviction, the conviction must be clear. When there is edification, the edification must be clear. The Word of God must be clear, or it's a dangerous event. Now, in Ezekiel 33, starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "Again the Word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet..." OK? Okay, whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman upon the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth. Who heard the word of his mouth? The watchman heard the word of God's mouth. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. It is entirely common in the Christian church, although I think our church is very good this way, to be honest with you. I don't think we have a problem with this. But it is entirely common in the Christian church that the watchman is either not watching, not blowing the trumpet, or not being heeded. Those three things are a large problem in the Christian church. One of those hits almost every church with certain individuals. If the watchman is watching, and if the watchman is making a certain sound, in other words, the watchman is preaching in clarity, and the person does not heed, then that person is taken away by the enemy in their own iniquity, in their own emotional rebellion against God. That's what iniquity is. In their own emotional rebellion against God, and God says, it's your own fault. Unfortunately, there are those who would blame the pastor, and I want to reiterate, I don't think we have this in our church. Unfortunately, there are those who would blame the pastor for the message when it came by God's mouth to the watchmen, and they were to warn the people from God. People will react at the pastor. I remember Pastor Stevens once in a blue moon would talk about it. How people would be hateful toward him and resentful of him when he gave them a warning from God as he heard it from God's mouth. And people would come up to him and say, hey, you're talking about me. As though he had a way of knowing what was going on in their life. No, they were convicted and they blamed the Holy Spirit's conviction on the messenger. Never say, the pastor is talking about me. The pastor is saying what he hears from God's mouth and warns you from God. And if it happens to convict you, then be humble and respond to the warning that was received from God. Yet how many people in Christianity will do something foolish, like say, oh, it's the pastor's opinion, or the pastor doesn't understand. No, the pastor is hearing from God's mouth, you're arrogant. That's the problem. Not you guys here, but you understand what I'm saying. When that comes and I respond to a message like that, I'm being arrogant. And I think that I'm accusing the pastor. In truth, I'm accusing God of being unjust. I have to be careful about that. There are those who would say, oh, the pastor cannot talk about certain things because he doesn't have those experiences. For example, the pastor, if he doesn't have children, can't talk about child rearing. He doesn't have children. How would he have those experiences? Or marriage. If the pastor is single, he cannot talk about marriage because he doesn't have those experiences. Well, by that reasoning, the pastor cannot speak to women because he's not a woman. How would he have a woman's experiences? The pastor cannot talk to doctors because he's not a doctor. How would he have those experiences? The pastor cannot speak to construction workers because he's not a construction worker. How would he have their experiences? It's arrogant. It's an arrogant defense system blaming the pastor for what God has said. Don't you realize that God speaks to the pastor's ear and the pastor gives the warning from God's mouth? You're saying God doesn't know what He's talking about, and you're blaming the pastor if you do such a thing. God knows what He's talking about. He has more children than you do. His wife is bigger than yours. The pastor knows what he's talking about because he's hearing it from God. Never say it's the pastor's opinion when it's coming from the mouth of God. Now, if the pastor is not preaching the Word of God, if the pastor's preaching a movie he saw last week, or a song he heard on the radio, then maybe he is preaching his opinion. But if he's giving it to you chapter and verse, don't you dare think it's his opinion. Because you're being arrogant against God that way. And I'm sorry if that doesn't edify. I don't believe this happens in our church. But I'm sorry if that doesn't edify. That's God's Word. It's not the pastor's opinion. No. If the pastor preaches the message, if the watchman gives the warning, and I heed the warning, then I have delivered my soul. Then I have delivered my mind, my emotions, my consciousness, my self-conscious, and my volition. If I ignore the warning, or if I say, well, he doesn't know, or it's his opinion, then the enemy will take my mind, my emotions, my consciousness, my self-conscious, and my volition. And I will start doing things out of natural reasoning through a sick head, out of natural reasoning, based on my emotions and perceived emotional needs that are not in fact real, because my God shall grant me all my needs. And I will start making decisions out of the enemy's initiations. And I will justify it because I'll say, this is what I need. And the pastor doesn't get it. That's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. Now, the pastor is told something in 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, be instant if it's convenient or if it's inconvenient. Be instant if people like it or if they don't like it. Be instant if people respond or if they don't respond. Be instant if people appreciate it or are offended by it. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The pastor is commanded in the Word of God to do these things. Yet people get offended when the pastor is obedient to God. And they'll talk behind his back. They'll mock, ridicule, criticize, get sarcastic. But they won't humble themselves before God. This is human nature. Yet the pastor has been commanded by God to do these things. Because if he does not, then the people who hear him will still be taken away in their iniquity, in their emotional rebellion against God. But the fault will be the pastor's. No. The pastor preaches it as he hears it. If the pastor makes it up, God deals with the pastor. The pastor preaches it as he hears it. A pastor who would not preach honestly is a pastor who will have no anointing. Is a pastor who will have a message that drops flat and does not bring life to the congregation. And the lives of the people in the congregation will not be changed, and the fruit of the church will be non-existent. But if the pastor is preaching it, and he does have an anointing, and there is fruit, well, you will know him by his fruit in John chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6. The pastor preaches what he hears in his ear, and he gives a warning from God. In Titus 1:3, God hath in due times manifested His word through preaching. How many people are familiar with preaching? No, when the word is coming, you concentrate. You listen. Because it is for your life. Even if you happen to not like the message. You know what? The messages that I heard from Pastor Stevens that I didn't like are the ones I needed the most. That's why I didn't like them. Because they hit something in me. And that's what I needed to hear. And if I fought against his message, I paid the consequence. By the way, it is impossible for someone to backslide alone. When a believer makes poor decisions, they will take somebody with them, and it's usually another believer. If I start making wrong decisions, I guarantee somebody in this church is going to lose their call. If you as a believer start making wrong decisions, then somebody who's watching your life, possibly even in this church, will lose their call. They'll lose their life with God, or they will have serious struggle because of it. I can't afford to ignore the message. Because if I do, not only is my soul in trouble, but somebody else's soul is in trouble also. Let's say that a real life example, I'm not going to give names. A man leaves his call, takes his wife with him out of his call, loses his wife. Other people from that church lose their call also, because they were watching his life. And his struggle was personalized and internalized by them. And now they weren't sure of God's faithfulness. Or now it was okay to leave the call. Or now it was okay to sin. Or now it was okay to do the things that are not of God. Because He told them it was. Not with His words, but with His life. I know a man like that. I know about 3 or 4 believers. Some of them were in Bible college with me, who no longer have a walk with God because of that man's actions. Bad news. Bad news. He didn't tell them to go out and lose their walk with God. He showed them how to do it. And they followed him there. Confusion came into their life. Because someone that they were watching gave himself the liberty to live outside of precision with God. If you folks give yourself the liberty to walk outside of precision with God, someone who is watching your life, if you give yourself the liberty to do that which is not of God, if you give yourself the liberty to not heed the pulpit, then you've given the liberty to somebody else also. You don't live in a bubble, as no matter how much you would like to. Someone will pay the price for your mistakes. Be careful. Yes, God forgives you. And don't say in your heart, I don't like this kind of message. It's difficult for me to hear. You know what? Get over it and get in tune with reality. You're in a war. And you're living in a battlefield. So don't look for fluffy when there's bullets flying by. You live precisely with God. And when the message is clear, heed it. When the message is clear, heed it. This age just will not tolerate it. Something about this age just will not tolerate it. And 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come, and he's talking about the latter days, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What will they do? After their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. It's not that the preacher is necessarily preaching something wrong. It's the preacher is not preaching clearly. And in his lack of clarity, they have wiggle room for their sin. You see it? In the lack of clarity, there is room for sin. And they, because they want to sin, will run away from a pulpit that teaches in clarity in exchange for a pulpit that teaches in ambiguity. So they can have their sin and not be convicted. That's someone who does not want the pure and proper application of doctrine in their life. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And in Romans 8:10, but what saith it? The word is nigh to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. I get away from sound preaching, clarity of preaching, and I lose faith. And maybe I don't want faith, because faith will not allow me to sin. So I run from that which would build faith in me, because there's something my lust patterns crave. That's how it works. I don't endure sound doctrine. I want ambiguity. I want anonymity. I want to be able to do what my flesh wants to do and not be able to be seen. Or have God convict. It's that simple. This is the state of man. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God works only effectually when you believe it as the word of God. So, the preacher hears something from God, repeats it, and the person receiving it believes it. Not as the word of the preacher, but as the word of God. And then it's effectual in my life. In Hebrews 4:2, the gospel preached to them, it did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. So it was not effectual in their life because there was no faith towards the words that were preached as though they were the words of God. Instead, they say, oh, words of a man. His opinion. And God says, fine, time for discipline. And discipline almost always starts in my emotions. In 1 Thessalonians 2:3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Not for the pleasing of men. How many preachers will not preach it because it might offend somebody in their congregation? No, not for the pleasing of men, but of God. Make sure God likes the message. As long as God likes the message, it's the right message. Because if a pastor starts preaching according to what the people think, he's going to stop preaching the Word of God. And God's not going to be too thrilled with him. Neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor of others. When we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. That's the words of a pastor. Yet people say it's his opinion. It's not his opinion. It's the love that he has for the people who are listening to him that causes him to hear so he can preach it purely. And if he doesn't have that love, he won't preach it. Why does he need that love? Because if he preaches it, somebody's going to be mad at him. That's a lot of fun. Somebody's going to be mad at him. But he loves enough to do so anyway. That pastor has to do it. And he doesn't do it, in 1 Corinthians 4:14, he doesn't do it to shame people. He doesn't do it because he's mad. He doesn't do it because he doesn't like them. He does it because they are the beloved children of God. That's why he does it. And in 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness he instructs those that oppose themselves. These people who say, oh, it's the pastor's opinion. You know why they say that? Because they want something that is opposing themselves. They want something that will damage them. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So he tells it to them anyway because he knows they are opposing themselves. And he hopes and he prays that they turn. In Jeremiah 23, if the pastor does not do this, woe be unto the pastors. This is a serious warning. Every preacher should read this passage. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. This is a serious warning to any pastor who is not willing to preach it as he hears it. God says, I'm going to visit upon you the evil of your doings. How did they scatter? They didn't blow the trumpet with a certain sound. And no one was prepared. And it's the pastor's fault. That certain sound is crucial. People get mad at it. People get offended by it. People react at it. But it is life-giving and crucial. And if I, you know what? If I'm about to walk off a cliff, I'd really, really rather say to someone, there's a cliff. Don't walk there. But I say to myself, hey, I can walk off cliffs. And the poor person who's going right along behind me because they're watching my life walks right off the cliff with me. And it's usually a few people. Rarely is it just one. It's usually a few of them. Happens every time. If I backslide, somebody's going with me. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. One, singular, elder. It's the pastor it's talking about. Look it up in the original language. It's the pastor it's talking about. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Why did he put that in there in the very same verse? Because that's where the certainty of the trumpet is. So I listen to the trumpet and I hear its tune. And it delivers me. But if I say to myself about the watchman who's blowing the trumpet properly, I said, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing, then I'm going to be taken by the enemy. And it'll be my own fault. No, the word that you receive from the pulpit in 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord endures forever, and His word, which by the gospel is preached unto you. The preaching that you receive is the word of the Lord, and it lasts forever. And by it, you save your life. By it, you have a life. Never, ever get so familiar that you would say, pastor's opinion or pastor's thoughts. Never. Because what you receive from God, the Bible says, you receive through your pastor. Not his opinion. Your protection. Amen.